brought to you by Prescient Investment Management. Informed by science, guided by insight. Prescient Investment Management is an authorized FSP.
Welcome to another episode of Honest Money. We're talking about the whole asset management industry today and how the asset management industry is changing, how it's evolving, you know, transforming it from kind of a, I mean, it's now quite an old industry and transforming it into a very modern digital kind of environment. And certainly from my perspective, you know, I'm not the person to speak to about this. You know, I can ask good questions, but I felt I needed some serious backup here. So we've brought in the very big guns today. We've brought in the CEO of Prescient Investment Management, Cherie Dyers. Thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks, Warren.
So the thing about managing money from my side, you know, as the person watching the world of money is, you know, asset managers have kind of a rapidly evolving industry. And it's not to say that it hasn't been evolving in the past. I feel like it's always evolving. But perhaps that rate of change now is speeding up even more. I mean, is that a fair comment?
Absolutely a fair comment. The change is quite broad from how you manage money, access to data, to the kind of people that you employ, the talent level that you look for, the different skill sets. There's obviously just transformation of the products, the kind of clients you service, new distribution channels to kind of flesh out and participate in just a much broader ecosystem that's also led by sustainability. So it's no longer about making a quick buck. About being a responsible corporate citizen, looking after the communities you serve, and just in general, building a sustainable business, which is all encompassing to the stakeholders that you service.
So maybe let's start with the human beings that are asset managers today. I mean, when I started in the industry in the late 1990s, it was kind of, to me, my perception was filled with men, firstly. Secondly, they were mostly accountants or CFAs, you know. So sometimes it was an engineer who'd done a CFA or something like that. But it was always a lot about the numbers, like, you know, and kind of the financial side of it, and not much diversity in terms of skill set or background of the actual people doing it. You know, their careers were kind of uniform. It felt to me that, you know, far too many men, not enough women, far too many kind of just white men as well, you know, and as a white guy, that you know, that just bothered me as well, because we were all the same, you know, and I feel like, you know, if you look at the world of money, it's quite a wide and diverse thing. You know, there are lots of things that impact the world of money, and kind of having a collection of people that are all the same doesn't make sense to me. It needs to be a kind of a really broad spread of skills and experience and backgrounds.
Absolutely. I think in the past, that's definitely something that became a perpetuating factor and a self-fulfilling prophecy, in that even my 18-year-old daughter, when I asked her, would she join the finance industry, and she said to me, do I look like a man who's interested in money, and do I have a trust fund? And she chose a different industry, which for me is quite sad, because not a lot of people know and understand the privilege of managing client money. And because of the legacy that we have, I guess, in the industry, that's just being perpetuated. So we need to do more as asset managers to promote the fact that we want fresh thinking, we want innovation, we want differences, so that we can serve clients better in the end. But it's not very well known. I really do think that as an industry, we do ourselves a disservice by not promoting it more aggressively.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It is a, you know, it is a kind of sense of custodianship. You know, you feel it as a custodian of the next generation's retirement money. And I think, you know, understanding that it's not just about a kind of a bunch of flashy people out there trying to make as much money for themselves as possible, that they don't care about the end person. I think there is quite a lot of, from my perception of the industry, it's changed a lot. You know, the duty of care, you can see a lot of asset managers feel now, and you know, especially as the kind of next generations have joined from the 90s, you know, right through the early 2000s to now, I've certainly noticed, you know, the kind of gender profile has changed dramatically, and even the racial profile has changed, and now, you know, you kind of see It's always interesting to me to see the kind of some of these fund managers, you know, arriving with long hair and tattoos, and they look more like they work in media than, you know, than with numbers. And I feel that that's a good thing. You know, I think we need that diverse background. So I think it is something that we can always talk about and move and change. But certainly it feels to me that change is and what, you know, was happening and now is happening a lot quicker. But the thing that I really want to touch on this is we're kind of moving from a world of spreadsheets and you know, income statements and balance sheets to kind of a much more focus on big data, you know, big kind of numbers. And it feels to me that, you know, maybe the future of asset management is not, it's never going to be kind of ignore the balance sheet or the income statement, but that's not going to be the only thing. It's going to be a lot more about kind of data skill sets as well. I mean, is that a fair comment as well?
No, absolutely a fair comment. So as you know, at Prescient, we do systematic investing. We do have quite a quantitative approach to managing money, but the big thing that we've been working on in the past 5 years was to build a data science team to help us leverage information. So data is just data. If you don't find a way of making it useful and sort of contributing to your investment process, then it's meaningless. And the amount of big data that's out there today is just phenomenal. And it seems to me like a lost opportunity if you have as an asset manager, restrict yourself to, as you said, just analyzing an income statement and balance sheet, although all of it kind of translates and is summarized very nicely into that. But you need to follow evidence. You need to be rational more and more. You need to let go of your biases and just bring your insights, which is backed by data. And that for me is the asset managers of the future. I think that's what will drive their success in the end. But it is about convincing clients that it's not about the sexy story that you have when you're looking at an equity instrument. It's got to move beyond that, because if you want to create certainty, you need evidence. You can't rely on, oh, that's a great CEO, it has to invest in that stock. I mean, we all know a few bad examples where that happens. There are good ones, of course, but not leveraging big data, I think you'll do yourself a disservice as a company.
So I'm kind of imagining now in my head when you're talking about this that, if I walked into your asset management office now, there'd be a bunch of these kind of techies all sitting behind screens, furiously programming away and coding. So are you kind of moving the world of coding and searching for data into the mainstream of your business, or is it something that they kind of sit on the sides somewhere in a dark dungeon?
It's completely integrated, and I think that's the exciting part. So 5 years ago, we embarked on a journey to transform our investment team. And that transformation was quite deliberate in that we'd look for investment professionals that had some finance background, but that also came with coding abilities. So the ability to bring ideas to life. And we started investing in building a data or an investment portal where we showcase all our thinking, where we actually can also manage money out of. And so because we've transformed the skill set of the investment team, especially the younger ones, so the if you think about just two layers, the ones at the junior staff members all can program in Python, they can all bring ideas to life. And then the senior people who have some programming experience, but have that insights, and together that combination is quite powerful. So the data scientists that we employed are very much part of our investment team. They're part of our thinking. They're part of kind of bringing the innovation to the business. So if you think about natural language processing as an example, being able to scrub the Fed speeches to pick up trends in that over time in a very quick way, integrating AI in programming as well. I mean, we can employ AI to do some programming and just check the work that they do. We don't need to employ 100 people to be able to do that. So it's quite an exciting time for us and lots to learn, and it's evolving quite fast because we started this journey, say, 5 years ago, building our investment portal. And last year we looked at it and we said, well, it needs to be redone. It needs a refresh. And how do we make it more agile, more responsive? And so we're on that journey. It's ever changing.
So I guess someone might be listening to us to go, well, hang on, does that mean at some point that, you know, my money is going to be managed by some computer and there'll be no people?
No. So at Prescient, it's about being informed by the science, but you are still guided by insight. So I think if you, as an investment professional, your first responsibility is still to clients and managing their assets. And focusing on the basics like portfolio construction and having a process that's robust. So that's still your guiding light and still the core of what you do. It's just about being smart around it. I think we were saying you don't need millions of analysts to sit there and read through financial statements and process information. The way you manage risk, the way you manage returns, you can create a lot more certainty for clients by leveraging big data. And that's all we're saying. We're just saying that don't restrict yourself to a limited universe and way of doing things. It's stick to your knitting, but just integrate big data into what you do. And it's fascinating the sort of outcomes that you get. And what gives you peace of mind is the fact that everything is rational and backed by evidence. So no decision that we make is just because it's a gut feel. I think that's kind of the worst thing that you can do in asset management these days, especially. So at the end of the day, you can look the client in the eye and say that my decisions, whether right or wrong, was based on this and that, and it's backed by evidence, which I think gives an investor peace of mind and which it resonates with me as well.
Yeah, I must say, you know, in the world of money, the one thing that kind of always astonishes me is how big cycles repeat themselves so consistently. You know, when we kind of zoom out from the individual and we look at a market and we look at all markets, it's amazing how they always work in these big, you know, kind of floods. You know, it's really big excitement and everyone's hyped, and then there's massive depression. And I always think, you know, we've got this world of behavioral science, and we haven't necessarily in the past found ways to kind of immunize ourselves a little bit from the emotion, you know, and kind of impose a sense of logic and rationality. So I like the idea of using kind of defined tools, you know, whether it's, you know, just big data or just programs or just a methodology, and you add all of that together to kind of, you know, because somewhere along the line, we're all human beings. We're all going to get, you know, overly excited when times are good. That'll happen again, dear listener. There will be good times again one day, I promise you. But when times are bad, you know, we can, it's human nature, we can be overly pessimistic. And then I feel like we miss out on the opportunities, you know, when there's kind of the market's telling you that there is a screaming buy on a whole lot of things, but we're so depressed and so kind of, you know, worried about tomorrow that we forget about 5 and 10 years down the line, all the opportunities we're being presented today. So I think that kind of blending of technology, of kind of a methodology of making investment decisions, then with experience as well, makes a huge amount of sense to me. So we're talking about you know, changing the industry and changing your business. So what are the things that are kind of worrying you a bit? What are the things you work on and you know, keep you awake at night?
Yeah. So I think just on the people side, the investment management is about people, and it's about building a culture of a bunch of people that enjoy working together, because that builds trust and ultimately allows you to manage people's money successfully. And I think for me, the big challenge is building a pipeline of talent to come through the system. So, and especially as you said earlier, when it comes to women and people of different backgrounds, that I have found to be the biggest challenge. It's as if the pipeline is somewhat drying up. And so I worry quite a bit just about how we get the next cohort of senior investment professionals that are happy to do their time with us for 10, 15 years and build a successful story. And I'm not sure where things are going wrong. So we do quite a bit of work with the universities on grad programs, just talking to people about what it's going to take to get more talent into our business. We focus quite a bit on internships, graduate programs and the like to find the right talent. But certainly it is at the end of the day a numbers game. Things don't happen by chance. You have to be very deliberate. So to be deliberate, again, you need evidence and data to support that. So for us, building a talent bench is quite important. The second thing that worries me is just the kind of ecosystem that we're operating in. So because we haven't had economic growth for an extended period of time in SA and now globally as well, things are quite challenging. And although it presents a lot of opportunity, the way that you adjust your business model is quite significant in that now it's about market share and gaining market share. So it's different sales techniques, looking for new distribution channels. If someone like Amazon are starting their own investment management firm, then that could lead to you ultimately being disintermediated. So you need to find partners to work with and to sort of build your business into the future. Because, I mean, that really is what it's going to be about. It's not the traditional business models that's going to rule. The one thing I think that's on our side as Prescient is that we've always been offered value from a pricing perspective. The industry remains under pressure, I think, in terms of fees they charge, and I think rightfully so. Transparency has improved quite a bit, but just within our ecosystem, there's so much kind of not layering up the chain in order, sort of the effective rates that clients pay are quite significant, and it doesn't have to be that way. I think if you build a smart, if you run your business smartly, you can evolve and offer fair fees, which is what we aim to do. But having said that, you can't go too far down the line. You have to run a sustainable business. So I think it's to be brave to talk to clients about the partnership that you offer them, and then to stick to your knitting and not be pushed down, because as an industry, we can eventually price ourselves out of business, which is what we kind of saw in the stockbroking industry a few years ago. So you have to be fair to the staff that you manage as well. And then I guess just from a local SA perspective, there's quite a bit of change in the way that we work. So it was catalyzed by COVID, where work from home was introduced. And then in SA, we've got our challenges with load shedding. So coming to grips, I think, with the new way of working, to keeping people engaged, having flexibility, still coaching people on the job, all of those things are, I can't pretend to have any of those answers, but that's something that I think about quite a bit, just in terms of what the asset manager of the future will look like as it relates to how people work. Yeah, because I do think that working from home when you're managing people's money can be problematic, in that it can introduce a level of risk. You have to be meticulous when you manage people's money. You can't afford to drop the ball. So sometimes I think if you're not together as a team, that can have implications just in terms of how you manage risk in a holistic way. Yeah, so I've said quite a bit, but that's kind of the top of mind few things that come to mind.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, I mean, the space you're in, you're employing, you know, very bright people with kind of in-demand skills, and they know that already, and I suppose they want their values and their lifestyle to align, and where they spend most of their time, you know, it needs to work for them. So it's a tricky area to kind of get that balance right between what the business needs, what the people need, making sure the clients are winning, and then knowing that everything's changing all the time, you know, is a real balancing act. So I can understand there's a lot to think about. So we're almost out of time. So I need to ask you my favorite question to all our new guests. And so, you know, with the benefit of time and experience that you've got now, if you were to go back and meet your 21-year-old self, what would be the one lesson you would like to teach yourself?
The one thing I'd say I would do all over again is to get myself well qualified. And I did that. I took the road wasn't exactly straight. It was quite a winding road to get to where I needed to be. But I think having qualifications when you're managing client money gives you credibility. It kind of arms you. So I wouldn't change that. But I do think that I would have a lot more self-belief than I did then. I only really found my voice quite late in my career. So I think to not fall for corridor talk and be more open about what I'm thinking, bring my ideas to the table quite early on in my career, and to have that confidence and back myself a bit more, that's something I would say, sort of just go for it. Don't just sit there.
Yeah, back yourself and invest in yourself is kind of a key message. Lee Dyer, CEO of Prescient Investment Management, thank you so much for joining us. I kind of listened a lot, I learned a lot, and I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Warren. It was great to be here.
Brought to you by Prescient Investment Management. Informed by science. Guided by insight. Prescient Investment Management is an authorized FSP.